Greetings again in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us that at this name, every knee will bow and confess that He is Lord. And so we say in our interpretation or view of that verse of bowing before Jesus, that either we bow now in this life or we will later on. Now we bow to a Savior and a King that is able to help us and to redeem us to be His child. Then we will bow before Him as a judge if we don't bow now. Kind of sobering words to start off, but I think that's something that's been on my mind, that is a verse that's pretty familiar, but I hope we take it to heart what it's really saying. This morning I'd like for us to turn to the book of Amos for part of the message introduction here. You can find Amos here. It's not far from Daniel. And what else is here? Jonah, Obadiah. Maybe you know exactly where it is, but I'll give you a little bit of chance to catch up there. Find Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8 is quite a chapter, but I'm not going to go over this. It's not a message on Amos, but and it's not a message on eschatology, but it does refer to the end times. Amos chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. I'll just read 11 and 12, I guess. Amos chapter 8. It says here in my Bible, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." And so you can read that and, you know, realize we're reading out of the Old Testament. And I believe there was a time in the Old Testament that that was fulfilled. But also I believe it's a prophecy that we can take as a spiritual warning here for us in this day to day. So he says, "I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And so the message this morning is spiritual famine. And I use that verse to introduce this. You can go, our thoughts can easily go over to the Gospels when it talks about the end times, when it talks of wars and rumors of wars. And then the King James uses famine, pestilences, and earthquakes, and all in diverse places, all kinds of those phrases are referring to the end time. Well, in Amos, I said, in the day is coming, or when this will happen. And so when I think of this message this morning, I believe when Matthew is talking, when Jesus is talking here in Matthew chapter 24 about a famine, he's talking about a physical famine in the world, and that people, and that's to do with starvation, lack of food and water. But then when you put Amos in there, a pretty direct comments there that the day is coming when he's not going to be talking about a physical famine, but rather a spiritual famine. And so this morning, as we think about that, today in the world, thinking of physical famine, there's approximately 24,000 people die daily from the lack of food and water in the world. That comes out to somewhere around 9 million people a year die of starvation, physical starvation. On the other hand, then when you think of our country that we are blessed to live in, is it's this information is all Barna Group stuff, so you can, maybe you like those reports, maybe you don't, but it is a group that goes around our surveys for these different things. In America, 2023, there was 86% of American households were food secure. That means they didn't worry about food at all. Food secure. 86% of Americans in 2023. And so we live in a land that we can get up in the morning and thank God for a refrigerator full of food, because we call it normal or natural or whatever, but it isn't for everybody. But that's kind of on the physical side of things. The other story I had read about an actor that his part in the movie was he was sent from the U.S. to Russia back in the Cold War days, and the movie was made as him going over as a spy and getting caught over there as a U.S. citizen spying on Russia. And the plot made it that he basically had to starve himself. And instead of making just make-believe stuff, how they do most of movies today, this was an actual starvation. And he was the better, I guess, the actor did, or the more he got paid, was because of how well he did with his starving himself. And so the comment that I'd like to take from him, this is his words, that when he starved himself so deeply to the point where he looked emaciated, I guess you call it, seriously fallen in, I mean, that's my term. He says he felt disoriented, dehydrated, hungry, emotionally and physically vulnerable, and mentally unstable. And so when I think of that, and that's now himself putting that on himself, the actor doing that to himself, when I think of that for this message, is the idea that how often have we been in discussions, or you've been in discussions around the lunch table or somewhere, about why does that testimony of him being physically hungry and the place where he was emotionally and physically vulnerable and mentally unstable, why do we talk about that as a dinner table discussion when you talk about spiritual things? There's so many people that are seemingly unstable, and what is going on? Are we living, and my thought is, are we living in the verses out of Amos chapter 8? And are we living into the famine, whether it's physically or spiritually? Are we living into the day where Matthew 24 talks about the end times? And, you know, how often have we talked about why the reason is in the last 40 years that we have had so many counseling centers going up and so much need? I mean, these places are full. There's one place that I talked to, the one guy, well, he said, I can talk to, I was calling for someone else, I can talk to that person, but it's going to be 6 or 8 weeks out. Well, if you're in trouble here today, emotionally, or having a struggle spiritually, what's 6 to 8 weeks out going to do for you? And I was disappointed, as I thought, well, now this is the right connection. These guys can help you. I mean, he can help my friend. And so where are we at? And do we ever think about that? You know, you can explain that away when we talk about the old days in the 50s and so forth, that, well, people just covered things up and they didn't talk about it, and they just hid it and they died that way, and nobody ever found out about things. Today we talk about everything. Everybody has to go for counseling. Everybody has to have a mentor, and everybody has to be cared for in a special way, you know, because, and yet I think My conclusion to some of that is that we possibly are entering in a day, even in our own circles, where we are in a spiritual famine. And that's not that good of news this morning, but I do have some good news to close the message. That's, I believe, how Amos brings it out. There's verses the same as Amos in Ezekiel, Micah. And then if you go into the New Testament in 2 Timothy, he talks about the time comes when Paul's telling Timothy, you got to get on the ball, if you will, and teach these people the right things, because the day is coming where they're not even going to be interested in the truth, and they're going to hire to themselves people that are that will tickle their ears, is what the words are really saying. And they're looking for more of a massage than a message, really. That's the day Paul's talking to Timothy about. So it's kind of a thread that's throughout the scripture, and it's referring to a lot of times in the end times. The day is coming. And are we seeing something like this taking place? The other Barna Group statistics I have here is the Earth's population is 7.6 billion people. And 6 billion have access to the Word of God, one way or another. And that's a lot of people that don't, but think about that. When you think of the troubles and the emotional struggles and troubles all over the world, what is going on if 6 billion people know the Word of God? I shouldn't say know the Word of God. They have access to the Word of God. And that's now through the internet and Google and all that stuff, you know. So what is really being said here? I think we have to understand that I believe that it's a time that we're living in that we need to recognize it. This is not a message to condemn us or to have us leave here empty-handed. I'd like to leave you full of answers and reminders to what is really going on. The concern I have is, and I want you to listen, the concern I have is that do we understand that when I get hungry physically, I go to the table and I eat and I'm satisfied. And then it goes all over again. I get hungry again, I get eat, and I get satisfied. If we are actually in a spiritual famine, or if you are in a spiritual famine, yourself, and you don't concern yourself with physical, spiritual food, that doesn't operate the same as my appetite for physical food. This spiritual food that we ingest from reading the Word of God and praying and fellowshipping and so forth, that has to be an effort and it has to be continued. Because if we don't, it doesn't lead us to maturity. And we just don't ever get satisfied. And actually what happens is we will go into spiritual famine and a spiritual, you will not have a hunger for God at all anymore. And so understand the difference between physical hunger and spiritual hunger. If you don't take care of your spiritual needs, you will die. And you have no interest in God. That's where it leads to. It just is that way. Because the spiritual things don't automatically attach to us. It's just not that way. We have to go to it, and just like we do for food. Let's keep that in mind. And Satan, of course, when you talk about taking food in the Bible and so forth, reading the Bible, the enemy is out there trying to convince you that you're too busy. You don't have time to sit down another 10 minutes. That's going to waste your day. He might be saying to us older ones, something that the older group has to recognize is that I know pretty much about the Bible, and that's what he says to us. I know pretty much about the Bible, and I'm pretty much set with answering the hard questions. But that's not the key is that we would continue taking food, spiritual food. It's not what I know or the knowledge. That's a trick of the devil. And so let's remember that we need to continue to take something in from the Bible. Well, I'd like to leave us here with four things that we can take with us this morning. If you write things down, okay. If not, just try and remember them. Four things that will help us that we won't fall into this spiritual famine that I think is talked about in the scripture. Number one is simply that we would consider our heritage. Our heritage is special. And Mel mentioned David and his ups and downs. David also said in Psalm 61:5, he says, "You have given me an heritage of those who fear your name." Now listen to that. David is saying, "You have given me an heritage of those who fear your name." Not everybody has the same heritage in this audience as far as godly ancestors for many generations. But at the same time, what God wants us to do, no matter what the history is of our history, our story is, and our complaints are sometimes about our history or our heritage, He wants us to dedicate ourselves to Him now, not lose five more years or another month. We can, if the heritage isn't that great in our past, that does not give us an excuse to complain, because we still live in this land where it's all free. God is, there's nobody watching over us at all. And so when I think of heritage, it's not just our ancestors. I think the nation here has brought a lot to us too. I'm not going to have a political advertisement here, but do we ever stop and think of that the Liberty Bell has a verse printed on it? How many know that? A few. Liberty Bell, out around the bottom, has a Bible verse from our Bible, the way that we read it. What is it here? I have it written down here, Leviticus 25:10. It's on our Liberty Bell. How many of us know that the Washington Monument has an aluminum cap on the top that has the Latin phrase on, "Praise be to God"? Did it ever really make a difference in my life, whether I know that or don't know that or whatever? But it's the idea of the heritage of this land that we live in. It's something fairly special. And we can get down about it, because I think of how many, this thing is getting, God is taking out of this country where that's where it was founded on Him, and people want to take Him out. And how many graduates from high school and public school or college even know that there's a Bible verse on the Liberty Bell? Does it really matter? I don't know, but it's just a sign of what's happening in society. Our heritage that we have in a lot of ways has given us a good background. And, we don't grow too far till we hear something about John 3:16 or Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer. We hear some of those things one way or another. And that is quite a blessing. Some of our emphasis that we are accustomed to are the Bible reading, like I said, and prayer, church attendance. You know that Hebrews 10:24 or 25, whatever it is, encourages church attendance. You know that? It says something about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and especially as you see the day approaching. And so that day that's being talked about is the end, and it's the time of the need of fellowship and getting together and being fed spiritually as a group here is very necessary when you think of the day approaching. And so those things are just kind of common to us. We talk about that as if everybody should feel the same and know that, you know, the advantages of getting together and so forth. But it's not that way. We have a heritage that is to be recognized. And just simple things like we go to a job, you know, and integrity and all those things that that just kind of commonplace. Well, I have to tell you this. Something that's different in Perry County than it is in McKean County is, so we live out in the country right now. We see one farm. That's the only lights we can see. And it's a road, it's a state road, Route 849, but it's just, we basically get up off the chair and see when a car goes by, but not quite that bad. But listen, the one morning when I left to go to work, I had, well, the milk gets delivered into Joyce's fridge every week. Fresh milk, unpasteurized, raw A2 milk, whatever all you can put to that, gets put in her fridge every week. The man, and she's not home, we're not home. The man comes in, walks in, puts it in her fridge, takes the empty jugs. When the month is up, he lays the bill out on the table, and the next week, then I lay a check out on the table to pay that bill from the last month. Well, that morning, one morning, I laid that check to pay the milk out on the table on the other entrance, the kind of the back entrance, another table. I laid a completely blank check, signed blank check, to a man that came and filled our fuel tank for our heating fuel for our house. $500 and some was the check, which I didn't know that, whatever he billed me for. He filled it out. He filled the rest out himself. Some of those things here in this town I have never done. 34 years, I've never done it. We have, I think I might have said the last time, but the landlord gave us sets of keys for the front door and back door, and Joyce was writing down B for back door on these keys with a permanent marker in front for the front door so we know which is which. They all look the same. And the landlord says, "What are you doing?" He says, "We don't use keys in Perry County." He just gave them to you just to put in the back, in the, you know. And so those are some things that I think of when I think of integrity that we've been raised with, and some of the things that is just kind of normal for us. We talk, not quite as much as we used to. We talk about simplicity of life as one of the things in our heritage, and that's a little bit gone by the wayside, but it's something we should be seriously thinking about. So these are things I think that are in our background, in our heritage, and you can kind of snicker at some of the old ways that people do things or did things. But at the same time, when we want to have a recipe or have an interest in remaining spiritually strong, some of those things just are from the Bible, you know. And so I think it's going to be one of those ingredients to consider the heritage, whether you think back to the heritage or the heritage you're making today. I think it's important. Consider our heritage. The second point is simply that we would consider our theology. We've been blessed with a strong theology and the written word of God, and we believe it, and that's where it's at. The Barna Group again says 5 out of 10 Christians in America do not believe in objective moral truth. That simply means that objective moral truth simply, and really, if you stop and think about it, comes from the scripture. So if I kill somebody here in Bradford, I gotta serve some time. I gotta receive the punishment. If I kill somebody in China, in North Korea, it's never right anywhere you go. That's objective moral truth, and it's the heading of that is from the Bible. Thou shalt not kill. Isn't that what it says? And so those are some things that we have, that we believe the Bible, and the words that we use, it's infallible and inerrant. And infallible simply means that it has no fault, and inerrant simply means it has no error. That's how we were brought up. That's in our background. That's our heritage. And the Christian faith, that's how all faiths believed at one time. Now what happens is, the sad thing is that there's many churches adopting unbiblical truths and ways and still called Christian churches. And so we're going to be tested with some, But I want us to consider what we have and what the Bible promotes, just in the simple idea of our theology. We have something. When the Bible says in John 14:6 that Jesus said, "I'm the way, truth, and the life," that is taken just what it says. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not a truth. He is the truth. And he is the way. It's not many ways. He is the way. And those things are not the opposite of objective truth is subjective truth. And so that simply means what Mel says is right when I murder somebody, and I look at somebody else and they say, "Well, okay, so Mel thinks that's wrong. Well, I can half agree with him, but this is really not that big a deal." That's subjective truth. Everybody has something it can be right in many ways. And the Bible's not that way. We have a theology that we believed in, a faultless, errorless Bible. And let's continue to do that. If we want to stay spiritually strong and not get ourselves into a famine, that has to be considered. This alternative lifestyle that's coming into Christian churches that's being okayed, what does the Bible say? Well, if you don't believe in objective truth, that the Bible is the truth and is the end, that's the period behind it, then of course you're going to be open to anything. We believe in objective truth. And let's continue to do that, and we will stay strong spiritually. The word that we think about here, we look at from this, that we have so freely, is without fault. Do you believe that? It's without error. Do you believe that? There's no error in the scripture. It's from God. People try to say it contradicts itself, but you study it hard enough in what they're saying, they have their own agenda. The third thing is, along with this, is the written word. Consider the written word. The Barna Group again says 4 out of 10 people don't read the Bible. 4 out of 10 people that you meet tomorrow have no interest, maybe even, in the Bible. 4 out of 10. And I think we should be considering why we read the Bible. Why is the emphasis on reading the Bible? Why do I say we need to feed from this word? Well, we know it comes from God. It's his word to us. It's his letter to us. We read it to get to know the author better. I think you probably heard me say that many times. And the more you get to know this author, the more you can feel what he's feeling. And you can know what he's, boy, it just meets the need and communicates with us. When I talk about, and I said it many times, knowing Harold Martin from that wrote the commentaries, I say still when I read them pages, well, it's like I'm hearing him say it. It's almost like he's by my side, because I've heard him, his voice, and I've heard him, his feelings about the subject. Well, if we don't read the scripture, you don't have a clue what God is really thinking about this subject. You don't even know what's going on. This is where it's at. And so let's remember that if we want to stay spiritually strong and not get caught in a spiritual famine, let's remain Bible readers. Takes time, and it's sometimes hard to fit it in. But if we take reading the Bible out, we will fall into a spiritual famine. It's no doubt about it. And if you want to do like the world around us is doing, they are wanting to remove God, and they will eventually get what they are asking for. They will get a society without God, and they'll wish they wouldn't. And so let's not let that happen to us. That's personal. You and I have to decide for our own life if we're going to fall into a spiritual famine, or if we're going to read the scripture, get to know the author, know what he's saying, know what he's really feeling about this, or know when he's stern about something, or when he's encouraging us and so forth. It's the only way to really get into that is to read it. The last point is to consider our likes. or our appetite. The Bible talks about a verse in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. It simply says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so, I believe this is a way, the last point here is a way for us to remain victorious in all the negative things that are around us. If our appetite, I guess my heart is that we can follow commands and follow things to read the Bible and not get much out of it. That's not saying that I want you to quit reading the Bible just because you don't get much out of it. But it's something about hungering and thirsting after. And in the Pennsylvania Dutch and German, it's more of it's chasing after. And it's a more of an emphasis. Another word is added to when it says hungering and thirsting after righteousness. There's another word that describes more that there's an effort that we need to put into if we want to find the righteousness of God and allow that to be applied to our lives. There's something about us chasing after it, is the Dutch word. And hunger and thirst after righteousness is my last point. If we consider our appetite, that God does not force his way on us. He does not force his word on us. He does not say, you must read 5 chapters a day. That's not the God we serve. He wants us to have a relationship with him and actually hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's why we're reading the scripture, because we have that hunger. Well, you have to develop the hunger or put effort into it, and it's not always easy. I'm first to say that or admit it. So if you find yourself slipping away, not reading it, maybe you're allowing junk food in your diet and stuff that's not necessary, or taking up your time, occupying your heart and mind, let's stop. Let's stop right there and do something about it. We can stop today if we find ourselves in a spiritual famine and make the change. It's not too late. We say today's the day of salvation. Well, today is also the day of repentance and more another commitment. We can decide if we're going to go deeper in a famine, if that's where you find yourself. Do we understand that the word is, in Psalm 19:10, it talks about the word being sweeter than honey. Try it sometime. It's sweeter than honey. And that is only found if we read it and want to read it, want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Everything about the Bible is special. Every syllable in the Bible is a word from God. Every phrase, everything comes from God. You want to know what God is thinking? You know, where God wants to correct us or wants to direct us? It's not all negative, like he's just up there trying to hit you over the head. It's also answers to life. And so here it is. It's for us to use, to take in. So I'll close with the fact that Matthew 4:4 talks about man not living by bread alone, not just by physical food, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so I hope we can consider our heritage and our theology and consider the written word that we have so freely here, and consider our appetite as we go from here. May you be encouraged and challenged to follow God's direction to where he wants to take you in the next step, and maybe I'm talking for myself, but the next phase in life too. And we have at 66 and 67, we still have questions and things that we're trying to find solutions for. And so don't think you're too young or too old. It's there, but God has the answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the word that we have so freely in this land again. We pray, Lord, that we could take a few of these hints with us, that we could not continue or not fall into famine in the future, but that we would remain strong, your people, that we could create light wherever we go because of our attachment to you. Just bless the congregation here and our work in the community here, that you would continue to help us to be faithful in what you want us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.